Ramsey TV.
You're going to like this one. You will like this one. I have a friend who says, yes, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 17 does say that we rise to meet the Lord in the air with the dead. Pretty fantastic. Yeah, I see that. But you can't convince me that we are going to be evacuated. This seems incredible to some people. I'm bringing this up. Listen to this. You can't tell me that we are going to be evacuated from the crap show. Some call it a shit show. I don't like to call it that. I don't like to use that word. So I'll call it a crap show that is Eon 3. It's like it seems too good to be true to this person and others possibly, which is why I'm bringing this up, too good to be true that God would actually take us out of the evil, of the chaos, of the wicked Eon and actually deliver us. This is Martin Zender. I'm perched on the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula in order to be taken away from here. Oh, now he's talking about escapism again. He just wants to escape his trials. Yes, that's absolutely freaking correct. I do want to escape my trials. I am not trial-oriented. I'm not into trials. I know that trials are important. I know that God brings them. I know that they're necessary. And now, let's stop the trials. I'm ready to get out of here. And I have a great word for you in Galatians 1:4. I mean, I've known this word has been here for a long time, but it just popped out at me because of my friend continuously using this word evacuation. It's like, we're not going to be evacuated. What do you mean an evacuation? No, it's better than that. That's not the word. That's not the word. The word is extricated. Yes. We're not going to be evacuated. No, we're going to be extricated. What's the difference? It's more personal. I'm going to show you the word. I'm going to give you the Greek word, and I'm going to show you four contexts in the book of Acts that will like seal the deal for you that we are going to be picked out of this evil eon and taken to a place that is not this evil eon, namely the celestial realms to be with Christ Jesus. Now, here's the great word. Here's the great word. It's really jumped out at me lately because of this evacuation. Like, we're not going to be evacuated. You're right. We're going to be extricated. Listen to this. Galatians 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from humans, neither through a human. Do I have to stop here? No. Should I? No. Anyway, when Paul says not from humans, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, you got it from Jesus Christ. Neither through a human. What he's saying here is I didn't get it from Peter. That's a separate topic. But through Jesus Christ and God the Father who rouses him, that one, that God the Father, the one who rouses him from among the dead, and all the brethren with me to the ecclesia of Galatia. Grace to you and peace. Here it is. Paul starts all his letter, grace and peace. And that's what I bring you this morning. I bring you grace and I bring you peace. Excuse me. This world is a hard place. Many bad things happen. But we have an expectation, not just a hope, we have an expectation. This expectation is supposed to bring us, should bring us grace and peace. The grace is that who are we to be extricated out of this eon ahead of everyone else? And the peace is once you realize that you are going to be extricated, you go kind of like, that's a happy thought. That's it. Grace and peace. I'm getting choked up over here. All right. Grace and peace. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives himself for our sins. Now see, the next part is shocking. And we know he gives himself for our sins. And the way we always think of it, and rightly so, is that he gives himself for our sins that we may be justified in the sight of God. He gives himself for our sins so that God can look at us as righteous and declare us to be a new humanity. Oh, this is very nice. It's very high. It's very I almost want to say holy, altruistic. It's like, it's not about us. It's about what God does. And we always like to talk about this, what God does. God's doing this. God's declaring us this. Jesus Christ died for this, purpose. But listen, what follows in Galatians 1:4. I've never really emphasized this part to you or to myself, but here it goes. It's almost like you can't believe this follows. Wait for it. Who gives himself for our sins so that he might extricate us out of the present wicked eon according to the will of our God and Father, in whom be glory for the eons of the eons. Amen. Pause here. He gives himself for our sins, and it's so normal for us to springboard from that, as I said, into these marvelous truths of how God now looks at us. But look at it now from his point of view. This is practical, a little bit crazy, and fun. Not only for us, but especially for him. Gives himself for our sins. Why? So that he might extricate us out of the present wicked eon. He is looking forward to that. That is one of the main reasons why he died for our sins. I mean, it's not the main reason, but we don't emphasize this part. He died for our sins so that he might extricate us out of the present wicked eon. And in saying this, we're really only speaking of the select generation. I mean, this word is to us. It's speaking only of the specific generation, the specific people of that generation who will literally be extricated out of the current wicked eon. Paul says us. Why? Because, well, this is an early letter, and I believe that Paul believed at first that the snatching away would happen in his day. And I get this argument a lot. Like, well, look at this. Paul thought it was going to happen. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. So that means what? It's never going to happen? Why didn't God give us a timetable on this of the extrication? You know, I'm all for using this as an alternate phrase to the snatching away. The snatching away, it's a nice phrase, but this extrication, it sounds even better for some reason. Snatched away, extricate. It's like a definitive action, somebody pulling you out. Boom. Snatching away is good. Snatching away is good. Extrication. It's just much more practical. It's industrial. It's industrial strength word. Might be extricating us. So he's talking about us. Paul thought it was going to happen in his day, I think, until he writes 2 Timothy. Then he realizes, you know, his life is about to be poured out. But the reason there's no date, the reason Paul doesn't say, by the way, when you see Donald Trump as president, when people start wearing masks all over the world, and they begin talking about a universal vaccination, it would be nice if he said all that, but he doesn't. There's no time set. There's no time announced, and unlike Israel, there's no discernible season. Israel has the feasts, and they measured many great events by the feast, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. We don't have that. We're not tied to any Israel feast. This is because God wants this to be a present expectation in every believer's life. You're supposed to eat from this. You're supposed to thrive on it. You're supposed to suck it like nectar, right? You're supposed to pull it through the honeycomb and let it drip down your throat and sweeten your gut. That's what this extrication is supposed to do. I mean, this thing's going to happen. Who extricates us, Paul says, talking about him and his fellow believers alive at that time. You say, but Martin, they all died, having not received the promise. Yeah, but They died thinking that any moment Christ could return. That's a happy thought, and we're supposed to think it. We're supposed to think it. That's why I say, snatching away, when's it going to happen, Martin? 2.5 minutes from now. I used to say 5 minutes. I upgraded. God cut the time short. It says in the book of Revelation, else no one would be saved. Paul says in Ephesians 4:1, become imitators of God. So I cut the time short. 5 minutes, forget about it. 2.5, we're out of here. So you might say, well, I'm wrong hundreds of times a day. Yes, I am, but that's okay because it's the next 2.5 minutes. It is supposed to be a constant expectation. Now, I'm always quacking about Romans 8, about how what shall be separating us from the love of God? Nakedness, sword, suffering, persecution, all these terrible things. And I'm always emphasizing, in all these things, we're more than conquering. Yeah, in all these things. But there comes a time when we will be extricated out of these things. There comes a time. And I'm going to show you four contexts. Strangely, in the book of Acts, four huge contexts in the book of most of the appearances of this word extricate, which is exario in the Greek. I love that word, exario. Somebody has to put that to song somewhere. Exario, exario, something. Do something with this word. It's just got to be put to song. And it better have a beat, and please use cowbell. Exario. The prefix is X. The rest of the word ario is lift. X in the English is out. Ario is lift. Out, lift. Out, lift. Out, lift. Extricate, taking you out. We're taking them out. In some terrible context, to take somebody out is to kill them. Not here. It's to get us out of the current wicked eon. Let's go to Acts chapter 7, verse 10. I might not get to all these contexts today, but that's okay because I'm going to, luxuriate a little bit in this. Acts 7, verse 10. Let me put my glasses on. I don't want to miss a word of this, and you're not going to want to miss a word of this. Gather your friends around the computer or the phone, whatever you're watching this on. Your friends in the body of Christ. Oh, and this. All right, I'm going to say something crazy right now. Your friends in the body of Christ. Are you ready for this? Okay. Nobody else is going to say this to you. And your friends who are not yet in the body of Christ. And this is what I want you to do. Do you remember somebody asked me at the conference, how do we make somebody a believer, Martin? And I said, by gunpoint. It was a joke. Everybody laughed. Then I said, no, you just give them the evangel. Yeah, that's one way. That's a good way. But I want you to dangle this in front of them. I say, why not? This sounds selfish. It sounds sensational. It kind of sounds like maybe a radio pitch or a television spot. Tell them, how would you like to escape? How would you like to be extricated out of this wicked eon? How would you like to not go through the tribulation? I'm serious. This is why I say this. Let's appeal to people's most direct need. I mean, of course, they don't realize their most direct need is to be declared. Understand that God sees them as righteous, God's smiling on them, and that God is conciliated to the world. That's great, okay? And they need to know that that's the most important thing, but it's a little abstract for most people. It's a little theological. It's not really, but they think it is. But how about this? Hey, buddy, how would you like to be extricated out of the wicked eon, huh? Hey, buddy, I got a deal for you. How would you like to not go through the tribulation? I guess people have to be convinced first that there is a tribulation. That'd be helpful. But most Christians know there's a tribulation. They think they're getting out of it just by being Christians, nominal believers, in name only, but they're obviously not true believers. They're going through the tribulation. I would like to not go through it. We can be extricated. We will be extricated, but not everybody will be extricated. Only those in the body of Christ. I'm telling you, the body of Christ is a modern day ark. I've made this analogy before. Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall the days be in the coming of the Son of Man. Well, this is it. We know that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that there's a secret resurrection that happens before Christ comes to the earth, before he comes to the earth. And it is described by our apostle in Galatians 1:4 as an extrication, taken out. I mean, that's a pretty good pitch. Why not? And then after they say, yeah, I don't want to go through the tribulation. Well, all you got to do is believe this evangel. Why not start that way with the most basic human need? Like, I don't, is the tribulation going to hurt? Yes. Well, how do I avoid it? Okay, start there. Why not? Start there. Then tell them Jesus Christ died for sin, for your sin, was entombed, but raised the third day without the sin that he took into the tomb. Now, Acts 7:10. Don't want to miss a word of this. Here we go. Acts 7:10. Let's start with verse 9. And the patriarchs, being jealous of Joseph, gave him up into Egypt. We know that story. A very sad tale. And God was with him and extricates him out of all his afflictions. Extricates Joseph out of all his afflictions. What happens next? Glad you asked. And gives him favor and wisdom in front of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and constitutes him governor over Egypt and over his whole house. I see a great analogy here with what God's going to do with us. Joseph went through hell. He was falsely accused. Well, first he was dragged to Egypt as a slave because his stupid brothers wanted to get rid of him because they were jealous. Then, of course, he's framed by Potiphar's wife, goes to jail. Horrible story. 27 years in the prison. How many years have we been in this prison? Anybody out there over 27 years old? I'm barely making it there, but yeah. There comes a day when God extricated Joseph out of the prison, out of all his afflictions. I go back to Romans 8. Paul lists all these afflictions that we're in. Danger, nakedness, sword, all these things. None of these things can separate us from the love of God. Yes, that's well and good. We know that. Yes, that's true. And in all these things, we're more than conquering. That's true, that's true. But there comes a day when we're extricated out of these afflictions. God was with him, Joseph, and extricates him, exario, out of all his afflictions, gives him favor and wisdom in front of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, constitutes him governor over Egypt, over his whole house. We are going to be constituted governors, like not only, not just. It doesn't do justice to our position, which is at the right hand of God. And if anyone doubts that we are taken into celestial realms, if anyone thinks that we meet the Lord in the air and come back to earth, how could that possibly be? When Jesus Christ is now seated at the right hand of God, in this analogy I'm drawing from this word using Acts 7:10, I got three more references, going to give them to you tomorrow. You got that to look forward to, but this is a doozy. Joseph comes to be the second in command to Pharaoh himself. Pharaoh makes him governor over Egypt and over his whole house. Do you realize that Jesus Christ is going to give us rulership over his whole house? Everything that Christ now rules at the right hand of God. Where's the right hand of God? Is it in New Jersey? Is the right hand of God somewhere down on the bayou? Is the right hand of God hanging out beneath the St. Louis Arch? Is it treading the cold waters of San Francisco Bay with the seals? No. The right hand of God is in the celestial realm. That's where Jesus Christ is now. He's second in command, second only to the King of Kings, to God himself. And we, as members of his body, are being extricated out of this current wicked eon in order to be there, to be with him, as Joseph was extricated from all his afflictions. I almost said a bastard preacher. That was a Freudian slip. Starting to sound like a Baptist preacher here. Joseph was delivered from all of his trials Put your hand on the hand of the man of God. Get delivered from all your trials. Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will extricate you from the coming wicked eon. Amen. God be praised. Yeah, well, it's real. And this is just a nice little example of it. Using this word, same word in Galatians 1:4 concerning the money of Christ. God says they might need a vignette. Let's show them a specific example of when I did this before. Acts 7:10. And there's more where that came from.